Good morning. Thank you, Melissa. And thank you, CST, for the opportunity to speak to you about developing and usability testing an internal data request system for improving epidemiology and informatics infrastructure in the health department. A QA project was initiated when I began the fellowship to look at a data management and processing problem in July at Denver Public Health. The reason why this project was initiated was because epidemiologists and informatics both receive incomplete requests. Areas of waste and inefficiency were identified in three root causes. First, lack of complete request information delays the process in moving forward. And second, not being able to find needed data information and lost knowledge related to previously completed requests. And third, an ambiguous standard process to determine the right person or group to perform the request, and then ending up with both groups duplicating efforts. So our team developed a data request tracking system to address these inefficiencies and to standardize our work. The system was built to serve the following user needs. Supervisors are able to triage, which is approving and assigning requests that come in. And analysts are then aware of current and previous work, and then requests get routed to the appropriate person who has the skills, time, and resources to complete a request. And this is hopefully reduced duplication of work, confusion, and inefficient prioritization. And we hope to measure and identify opportunities for improvement in processes and outcomes. So we wanted to have our users adopt this system, but first we knew that it had to be evaluated. In order to be successful, these questions were essential to confirm within users. Can users submit a request through our system with all the information available to complete the request form? Can users find needed data and information related to previously submitted requests? And can users identify the right person to contact regarding a data source? Usability testing method was used for the evaluation. Usability testing is a technique used in user-centered design to evaluate the user experience throughout the design and development process. Usability testing does not just mean asking the user, okay, what do you like, what do you don't like? Instead, it is about measuring performance and user satisfaction early and continuously throughout the design and development process. It is definitely an iterative process where multiple phases are used and prototypes are shown for the users. So this model shows the iterative process of usability testing, which includes three steps: plan, design, and test. After testing, design is repeated and the redesigned prototype is tested again. The usability test included two phases where a prototype was designed, tested in phase one, and then redesigned and tested in phase two. In the planning step, I created a test plan, which defines the scope and what is being tested. It identifies the purpose and any concerns, questions, and goals for the test. And in the plan, I decided on metrics I wanted to use, which include subjective and quantitative metrics. So here I'm showing a partial view of each of the three applications being tested in the next slides. This here is the data sources list, and I just want to point out that it displays the data source name here in the first column and the contact for the data source in the next column. This is the data request form that the requester fills out to submit a request for data or reports. So that you have a sense of the type of information we collect, I've bulleted the required fields that the requester fills out over here on the left. And this includes request date, requester, request title, description, and request reoccurrence. This is the data request list that lists all of the requests by status. And this list is also viewable by the analyst assigned so that analysts are aware of previous and their current work. The objectives of this usability test can be summarized with these four questions. Can users easily find targeted information related to available data sources? Can users easily find and complete the form? Can users understand and follow instructions on the form? And how often will they use each app in the future? Usability metrics were collected for these three apps. The objective metrics included successful task completion rates, problems ranked by severity, which would be serious or minor, and subjective metrics included self-reported ratings for ease of use and satisfaction questions. This table of applications tested provides counts of users who have participated in the two phases or rounds of usability testing. Three applications were tested among a total of 12 users, and participants were recruited based on fit for two roles, either a requester or an analyst. One requester did not complete testing on the request list in phase two, therefore the results were excluded. The usability test design used scenarios to mimic real-world situations with motivations for requesting data. The data collection instrument was designed to have scripted instructions, a scenario description, goals, and a list of tasks, and also places to collect user feedback. Three scenarios were written to relate to the three apps being tested. Looking up data in the data sources list was one. Also, completing the data request form. And then third, tracking the status of a request and making changes to an existing request. So during testing, usability test data was gathered. And if in phase one, the user had the option to select on your own testing, and they were sent an email with attached instructions and the data collection instrument. When testing with the facilitator, the user received an explanation of the instructions and read the scenario goals, description, and task. And while the user completed each task, the facilitator wrote user-reported problems and comments or recommendations. And then after the user completed the task, the facilitator recorded successful task completion. And after completing the scenario, the facilitator asked three questions for subjective metrics, including ease of use, ease of carrying out a task, and likelihood of using that in the future. And what happened after the test was ran is that 48 hours, results were analyzed, and we compiled all the recommendations into a list, and then listed out each problem by severity and tried to identify solutions that would address each problem. These results were reported after each phase and included screenshots, graphs, and charts that I will share with you. And then after the test, this phase was really identifying if the purpose of the test was fulfilled and if we answered any concerns, questions, and goals and made sure that those were addressed. So here are the results. After phase one, we learned that we needed to add new data fields. We needed to revise drop-down menus, add links to more information, add descriptions to clarify the form, and reorder some fields. We also learned to redesign the site pages and add links to the request form and request list, add a link to the data sources list, and add a link to the data request portal. So pictured here is a confirmation email that was sent to the requester, and it was added after phase one to improve workflow and accessibility. The email was automatically sent when the request was submitted, and it was sent with a link to the request link in the body of the email, pictured here. So here are results of testing the data sources list for phases one and two. There were high task completion rates in both phases, and problems decreased from 11 problems in phase one to 2 problems in phase two. And it's important to note that analysts were not included in phase two testing. In phase one, the most common problem was that the list had a lot of items in it, and the search terms that they used really didn't work very well. Users also reported having trouble navigating back to the complete view of the list. And however, no changes were made to the list between phases since there were high task completion rates among requesters. So here are the results for the subjective metrics for ease of use and likelihood of use for phase one. Over 80% agreed that it was easy to understand and find what they needed. 50% said they wouldn't use the data source list sometimes or often in the future. So here are the results for the same metrics for phase two. Over 100% agreed that it was easy to find what they needed, but only 50% thought they would use the data source list in the future. Here are results of testing the data request form for phases one and two. Task completion rates increased or remained at 100%. All users correctly identified the last field the requester fills out on the request form in both phases. In phase one, only 67% of users completed the form with the information that was provided in the scenario description. And later, this increased 100% in phase two. The workflow was added in phase two, and 100% of users received a confirmation email message after submitting their request. The number of problems increased 3 times in phase two, from 2 problems in phase one to 6 problems in phase two. So here are the request form results for the subjective metrics for phase one. 100% of users agreed that it was easy to find the data request portal. This is a page that has instructions and links to the request form. Over 80% agreed that it was easy to understand and follow instructions on the request form, and the same percentage thought that they would use the request form sometime in the future. Here are the request form results for phase two. 100% of users agreed that it was easy to find and understand and follow instructions on the request form, and 100% thought they would use it in the future. So this is the results of testing the data request list. There were high task completion rates for tracking the status of requests and making changes in the data request list to existing requests. In phase two, task completion rates improved with all users being able to edit and update their request, and the number of problems reported decreased from 10 problems in phase one to only 2 problems in phase two. In phase one, the most common problems was being able to edit and update an existing request because a lot of users just had trouble finding the edit button. Here are the subjective metrics for phase one. Over 80% of users agreed that it was easy to find and update the data request they submitted, and 50% that they said that they would seldomly use the data request form in the future. For phase two, metrics for ease of use increased from under 85% to 100%. And metric for likelihood of future use decreased, with a third of users saying they would never use the data request list. So an important question that was the purpose of this study related to the data source list was, can users easily find targeted information related to available data sources? And generally, yes, over 80% agreed that it was easy to understand and find what they needed, and 100% of users identified the correct contact. So because they were able to identify the correct contact, this is important because it eliminates duplication when the correct person is contacted and only one person initiates fulfilling a request and contacting the requester. So despite the high number of problems that were reported in phase one, there were no changes made to the data source list between phases because users could successfully complete the task that we asked them to do. Thus, it's important to test usability in multiple phases to detect if problems still persist after deciding not to make any changes. So another question that was important to answer was, can users understand and follow instructions on the form? In phase one, over 80% agreed that it was easy, and 100% identified the last field to fill out. In phase two, 100% agreed that it was easy, and 100% correctly identified the last field to fill out. The form has 2 sections for requester and analyst, and there was concerns in the beginning that the form wasn't divided clear enough and the requester would get confused. So these usability results demonstrate that the requesters were not confused and they knew where their section of the form ended. This is important because dividing the sections would have taken more hours design and development to fix. The third question is, can users easily find and complete the form? In phase one, 100% agreed that it was easy to find the form. However, 67% of users completed the form completely. So this shows low satisfaction, yet high satisfaction, yet low performance. In phase two, 100% of users completed the form. However, the problems increased by over 3 times. And this shows low satisfaction, yet high performance. Scenario 2 results revealed that people's performance and satisfaction, they don't always match. Thus, testing for usability should include both subjective and objective metrics. No improvements were made to the form between phases because of the low number of problems identified in phase 1. Phase 2 problems primarily related to funding source questions, and most of the users in phase 2 held administrative positions and they were more concerned about funding source and grant numbers. So the lesson here is to have a good mix of users for both phases so these kind of biases don't appear. In phase 1, users identified 5 serious and 5 minor problems that could reduce usability for the request list. A common problem was being able to edit and update requests. And after phase 1, the workflow that sends the requester a link in an email to the request form with the edit button was added. The request workflow was designed to address the problems that the user reported with not being able to edit their request. And then after that, we saw that in phase 2, the problems decreased. And ease of use increased over 85% and to 100%. However, the likelihood of future use decreased. So the lesson here is that the use of scenarios in our case didn't account for the potential and the very likely situation where the requester has multiple items listed in the request list. And they would need to go back and find multiple items in the future and not solely access it through their email. So usability tests resulted in reduced errors and improved productivity and efficiency. We also saw personnel time savings by our epidemiology staff by reducing the need for costly rework and duplicated effort. Additionally, we saw better end user support in them being able to achieve their goals through a more highly usable system. So I would like to acknowledge my contributors from Denver Public Health. And thank you, Project Shine. Now I'll take any questions. Thank you.
Hi.
Who are the users? Is this general public just randomly or just going in and getting the data requests?
The question was, who were our users? Was it the public or somebody going in? So this is for an internal data request system in a health department. So our users were requesters or people that would be in a health department placing a request for epidemiology or informatics staff to fulfill. So we had requesters from within our department, and we also had analysts or the people who would be going into the system and completing requests.
So per deep staff needing data.
That's right. Staff needing data would come to us. Right. I think the question generally was about having requests come in externally, but being entered by an internal person. And yes, that does happen. In those cases, this system helps because even if 2 requests from outside were entered by internal people, that there is one person who assigns those requests to be completed. So it's kind of they all come in centrally and then get assigned.
So, and then my second question is about the reverse. Are there any plans for seeing if the system adequately logs what the real request is, and if then the user is satisfied? And then a secondary part to that is, Are there any questions or issues about the review of the response before it's sent out? Anybody have to kind of approve it before it goes to the requester?
Okay. I think the question is more about the question here is about quality checks and seeing what comes in before it gets sent out. Does it get reviewed? And
does it get reviewed, and is there satisfaction with it? Are there any plans for that? Or is that even concerned? Did that come up in the larger scheme of this project?
Right. For the first month, we did an evaluation, had people come in and fill out a link that gets sent out when the request is completed. An email will get sent out with a survey for people to go and ask some basic questions like, what did you like? What could we improve? Did we answer your question and get back to you in a timely manner? Just some basic open-ended questions we asked for satisfaction. And if an analyst feels before they send it out that they want to have it reviewed, then they can just check a box and it'll go into kind of a queue for people to QA. You're welcome.
Are users able to see, requesters, are they able to see what other requests have gone in, and can they see the product that was sent to someone else?
Yes, they'll be able to see what has been requested before with the request title, description, maybe the date ranges requested. And there are links to the output or the reports. But those links only go to places where they would have access. So if it contains PHI, then it might not be in an accessible location and they won't be able to access that link. Hi, Jay.
Hi. In New York, we're having trouble sometimes with external data requests, and when people ask us for data, we fulfill the request and we use the system, essentially. But we're sometimes concerned about when we fulfill a data request,
like internal capacity to report on things that are routine and required of us.
Right, so we put together community profiles or photos. Sometimes we come up with reports and they give the data away at the exact same time that they have. Sometimes they publish something right before we get there. It's a little problem.
It's a careful balance of what we do. The question was about how do we prioritize, maybe how do we compete with other things that might be going on. And it's definitely a careful balance. Before, we just had requests coming in directly to the person that they think might be able to fulfill it, but now it goes to the supervisor, the head of health information investigation preparedness. So really it kind of takes it up to a higher level where they make that executive decision. And all of it isn't ran through the request system. There might be some side conversations that need to happen, some estimated completion dates based on other things going on, and a little bit more of that human factor that comes in at sometimes making those decisions about what goes out first. You're welcome. Okay. Thank you.